Welcome to the radio ministry of Clearview Church in Henderson, where our goal is to make Christ visible. Clearview is a place of genuine worship with ministries for all age groups and all peoples. For more information, visit us at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for this week's message by Pastor Abidan Shaw.
This is the third message in our series on the Trinity titled Battle of the Gods. We are studying the words of Jesus from John chapter 5, where he gave us a glimpse into the Trinity, into the mystery, the greatest mystery of all, who is God. And this morning we're going to focus on the second person of the Trinity, the Son, Jesus, and how he gives us life. And the message is called Choose Jesus, Choose Life. Have your Bibles with you. Turn to John chapter 5. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Sometime back, I was at a local business, where the Father had turned things over to the Son, and he was retired now. Son was doing everything. So I asked the Father, I said, how does it feel? How does it feel to be retired? How does it feel to turn everything over to your son, to your boy? And he answered, it was time for my son to take over. He said, he proved himself worthy of handling the business. And then he added, he said, I'm still in charge. I still have the authority. I still have the power. But he said, I am proud of the man he has become. Now, I thought of those words for our message today, because that story represents what took place in the Trinity at the incarnation. You know, when Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead, set aside his divine glory, humbled himself, took the form of a bondservant, means became like a humble servant, came into this world in the likeness of men. Jesus just did not become a human. He became a man. And the Father was so pleased with him, so pleased at his obedience, his willingness, that he said, Son, from this day on, everything is turned over to you. I still claim the authority. I still have the power. I'm the ultimate. And you'll always serve me. But from this day on, if people want to come to me, they have to go through you. In the passage we just read today, we're going to go deeper into the mystery of the Trinity, in the mystery of the Godhead. And what we're going to learn today is the role of Jesus in our salvation. The Father is still in charge. But now, if you want to go to the Father, you have to come through the Son. To be made alive, you have to hear the voice of the Son calling you from the grave. You cannot bypass the Son and go to the Father. This morning, let me ask you a simple question. Have you been to the Son? Have you heard the voice of Jesus calling you from the grave, the second person of the Godhead calling your name and saying, come follow me? Have you heard that voice? You know, I'm preaching to you this morning the best I can, based on my research, prayer, study. I'm preaching to you as best as I can, explaining to you the words of God. But as I'm preaching to you, as long as I stick to the word, as long as I glorify Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is there, you begin to hear the voice of the Son of God coming to you. It's no longer my voice. It's the voice of Jesus speaking to you. What is the job of the Holy Spirit? To remove every distraction from this place, to soften your heart, to open your mind that you may receive the words of Jesus. If that voice hasn't come to you, because it has come to you, it's because you haven't responded to that voice. You are still dead in your sins. You may be physically alive, but spiritually you're dead. Those who hear His voice will live. This morning, as we walk through this message, ask yourself that question. Do you know Christ as your Savior? Have you responded to that call? You may be a good person, a kind person, a giving person, but you are still a dead person. Are you saved? You say, I am saved. But here's another question. Are you echoing the voice of Jesus? You know, just like I'm preaching to you this morning, the words of God and the voice of Jesus is coming through, you also have the same responsibility where you are. Echo means what? You repeat the same words. Are you echoing the voice of Jesus wherever you are, in your workplace, in your family, in your neighborhood, that people begin to hear Jesus coming through you and lives are being transformed? One reason lives are not being transformed in our community, in our circle of influence, is because they're hearing a lot of angry, hateful, bitter, lustful, greedy words rather than the words of Christ. It's only Jesus that changes lives. So, application on many different levels. Are you saved? If you are, wonderful. Are you echoing the voice of Jesus Christ? We're going to ask three questions to this passage to understand what it means to choose Jesus, to choose life. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Question number one. Why did the Father turn things over to the Son? Now, at this point, some of y'all are pulling out your pillows and your comforters, and it's like, it's time to go to sleep. He's going deep. It's too deep for me. Hey, listen, this morning, there's something very real in this message. It is deep. It is rich, but it is life-changing. So don't tune me off. Keep listening. Why did the Father turn things over? Listen to verse 22. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. Father judges no one, has turned the judgment over to the Son. Now, when you read the Old Testament, repeatedly, God the Father is the judge. Go back to the book of Genesis 18:25, when Abraham is standing before the pre-incarnate Jesus, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah is coming. Abraham refers to the Father as the ultimate judge, judge of all the earth. In Judges 11:27, Jephthah the judge said, "May the Lord the judge render judgment this day between the children of Israel and the people of Ammon." In the book of Psalms 105 verse 7 says, "He is the Lord our God, He is judge of all the earth." You know, when you read the Old Testament, the Father is the judge. When you even read Hebrew literature, like the rabbinic writings, it is always the Father is the judge. But at the incarnation, when Jesus willingly, humbly, obediently submitted Himself, took the form of a bondservant, came in this world, did everything the Father told Him to do. By the way, did you know? Jesus could have rejected the Father's will. He could have said, "I'm so glad you love these humans, and I'm so glad you want to save them, but you know, I just don't feel like dying today." Jesus could have offered an alternate plan. "Why don't we send Gabriel?" At that point, Gabriel turns and says, "Well, why do we pick on the angels? I mean, what have we done wrong?" Jesus could have, at the last moment, backed out of the plan. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, He said, "Father, let this cup pass. This is too much. the sin of every human being poured upon me. It is too much. But then he said, nonetheless, not my will, but yours be done. You see, Jesus Christ humbly, willingly, obediently submitted completely to what the Father had decreed before the foundation of the world, that Son, you're the one who's going to have to go and give your life. And he did it. And the Father was so pleased with his Son. Remember at the time of the baptism, Matthew 3:17 says, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You know what that means? I am so proud of my boy. Now, when you think about the Father, Son being in the Trinity, don't think of it like a father needs a wife to have a son. Earthly families are based on heavenly realities. The Son is the Son without a mother. It is co-equal, co-eternal. It's the way they relate with each other in the Trinity. The Father is the Father, the head. The Son is subordinate to the Father. It's a relationship. So don't think of, well, somebody has to give birth to have a son. We are a reflection of an eternal reality. But he is so pleased with him. Again, at the Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew 17, it says, while he was still speaking, Peter was saying, can we build some tabernacles? Can we build some temples? A bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Quit talking. Listen to him. I am so proud of my boy. And then in Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews in 5:8 says, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Do you know Jesus becoming like us was a suffering? All power, all authority, angels at his beck and call. Now he has to come through a birth canal into this world, this filthy, nasty, sinful world. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who believe him, called by God as high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Means the Father was so pleased with his boy. He said, you know what? Not just after Aaron, after Melchizedek, my boy is so wonderful. And then Paul says it best in Philippians chapter 2. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who made him, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. I mean, Jesus did not apologize for saying, I and the Father are one. He said, no, he knew. He knew he was equal to the Father, and yet who made himself of no reputation, took the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. Did you know that? When you are humble and obedient and submissive, you are like God. You know, we think to be powerful, authoritative, glorious is to be like God. To be humble and submissive is also an attribute of being a God. And so what happens? He humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, because he did all this, therefore God has also highly exalted him. The Father raised him up and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The point is this. Because the Son lovingly, humbly submitted himself to the will of the Father by giving his life for us, the Father gave him the robe and the gavel of the judge of the earth. What does it say? For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. Listen to verse 23. That all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Imagine if I were to go back in that store to that father and say, hey, I want to do some business with you. So just you and me talking. Just me and you. No, you got to see my son. You know, he is in charge now. I'm still here. I'm still in authority. I'm still the dad. It's still in my name. But you got to see my boy. I mean, he's done good. He has earned the right to run the business. Go to him. And if I were to say to him, well, look, I know all the cross and the blood and all that stuff. He paid the price. But look, it's just me and you. I like that. Simple. Why do we have to bring all this Baptist stuff? You know what I'm saying? The Baptist, you know, got to get saved. No. How about I just come to you, me and you, dad of the business, the owner, and me talking. You know what the father will say to you? Get out of my store. My son has earned the right to run this business. I have given him the authority, and you are trying to bypass the son. Get out of my store. You see, you cannot come to the Father unless you come through the Son. What did Jesus say? All should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Can I ask you this morning, have you been to the Son? Have you been to Jesus Christ? There is no use talking about how much you love God and how much you pray every day. No use talking about what church you're a member of and how much you help and how much you serve the poor and the needy. And Christmas time, man, you're going to you put $10 more in that little bucket. You cannot bypass the Son. Have you received Jesus as your Savior? Because now everything is in His authority. So, why did the Father turn things over to the Son? Because He has earned the right. And now, how does the Son run the business? How does the Son execute judgment? Remember, the Father has given Him the robe and given Him the gavel. He is on the bench. How does He do the business? Does He sit back and say, all right, man, I'm going to judge the world. All right, you're going to hell. You're staying with me. You go to hell. You get out of here. You stay. Is that what He's going to do? Listen to what it says in verse 24. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment. Folks, the judgment that Jesus gives out is not like earthly judges and courtrooms. In fact, in John chapter 8, Jesus clarified this judgment. Listen to what he said. He said, you judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Well, wait a minute. Jesus, the Father has given you the authority. You have the robe. You have the gavel. You get to make decisions. Who stays? Who goes? He said, I judge no one. What do you mean no one? My judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. Man, that's deep. That's too confusing. What do you mean? The way Jesus judges is by His words. Imagine if you were in a courtroom. The judge sits down, picks up the gavel. The court is in session. Next thing you know, the judge does something very unusual. He takes off his robe, puts it to the side, sets down his gavel, and begins to walk up to the defendants. Comes to the first one. Hey, listen. You know, you're the government, $20,000. There's no way you can pay for it, and you're going to jail for this, but guess what? I paid for it. All you have to do is when I get back over there, all you have to do is acknowledge that I have paid for your debt. It's paid for. It's all good. So when I walk back there, just acknowledge, okay? He goes to the second one over here. Hey, listen, you stole some things and you got 6 years in prison. And I went ahead and served your 6 years for you. It's all paid for. It's done. When I go back there, all you got to do is acknowledge that I paid your time. I've served your time. It's all good. Yeah, that's good. That's good. You're welcome. He goes over here. Hey, listen, you killed a man. It's a death penalty. But guess what? Here's the analogy breaks down. I already died for you. I served the death penalty for you. When I go back over there, all you got to say is that I paid for you, okay? It's all settled. Yeah, that's fine. He goes back over there, takes his seat, court in session. First defendant rise. How do you plead? Not guilty. Hey, you are guilty. 20 grand, you didn't pay, you're going to jail. I paid for it. What you got to say is, I paid for you, okay? That's all you got to say. All right, let's do it again. How do you plead? I'm not a bad person. I didn't do anything wrong. I tell you what, everybody makes mistakes. All right. How about you? Remember 6 years you're getting, but I paid for that. How do you plead? Well, I do a lot of things in church, and I help the poor. And if anybody ever need anything, I pray for people all the time. I prayed all my life. I believe in God. Even the devil believes in God. I read the Bible every day. Even the devil knows the Bible better than you do. That's not the answer. The answer is what? What is the answer? He served my jail sentence already. All I need is for him to forgive me. Done deal. You know, remember, you got a death penalty. Remember, I died for you. Jesus, my Savior. Are you ashamed? Are you ashamed to admit that I died for your crime? Because I can go and tell you that if you're ashamed of me before men, I will be ashamed of you before the Father in heaven. There's another fellow over there, and the judge has already spoken to him and said, listen, everything has been absolved. All you have to do is say, I have paid for it, and you are free. Well, I tell you what, I really appreciate what you've done for me. And I want that pardon. But I tell you what, I'm not changing anything in my life. I love to party. I love to do this. I love to do that. I love to run around. I'm that's just who I am. You know, you don't know what's happened to me in my life. You know, my daddy left me and my mom did this to me and my friends left me and this happened to me. So, you know, I feel like entitled to live my life the way I want to. So I want the pardon, but I want to still live in, you know, my stuff. What do you think? The judge says at that moment, you will die in your sins. Listen again to what it says here. John chapter 12, verse 47. If anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. When the Son takes off his robe, comes around to you as a criminal, as a sinner before God, and says, hey, listen, I paid for it. All you got to do is admit that I'm your Savior. I'm your Redeemer. When you reject his offer, Jesus is not the one judging you. He came to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. When the bailiff comes to carry you away, when the officers come to take you away, but I'm innocent, I'm innocent. No, he offered you. He offered you a deal, but you didn't take it. And we heard the deal. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. Is it making sense? The gospel is simple. It is beautiful. Somehow we've lost the gospel. We have Christianity. We don't have biblical truth. This is the gospel. That the Father has turned things over to the Son. The Son is in charge. He is the judge, but he does not judge the earthly way. He comes and he pleads to you. You know, while I'm speaking to you, I'm preaching to you, Jesus is talking to you, and he's calling you by name and saying, come follow me. How does the Son execute judgment? By bringing to us the word of salvation. Let me ask you this morning, have you heard Jesus calling your name? Have you responded to Him? Have you received His pardon? Don't claim church and membership and baptism and Bible studies and mission trips and don't claim that. All you can claim is that He died on the cross for my sins. I want to be saved by Him. Look at the last question. Who is the ultimate judge? You are. I am. Listen to verse 25. Again, Jesus is speaking. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Now, there are several different things in that passage. Number one, this is not some future point. This is now is. Did you know there is a judgment seat right now? There's a bench, and you are sitting here in the courtroom of life. The dead are not physically dead, but spiritually dead. All of us are spiritually dead in sin. And the hearing the voice of the Son of God is not just auditory. It is acceptance, it's belief in Jesus. So when it says those who hear, it means those who will place their faith in the sacrifice of Jesus. What will happen if you and you and me, I hear the voice of Jesus, I receive by faith what He did on the cross, I will live. I'm safe. Listen to verse 26. For as the Father has life in Himself, so He has granted the Son to have life in Himself, and has given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this. You know, this morning, many of y'all are here. I don't think you are all the way here. Some of you are here, but your mind is elsewhere. You have sin in your life. Do not marvel. Do not be amazed at this. For the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life. Now, all of a sudden, it's no longer now is. This is about the future. And those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Based on what you decide now, you are setting the course of destiny. Your destiny. You receive Him today, His pardon, you are resurrected to life one day. You reject His pardon, you are resurrected to condemnation one day. How do people go to hell? You say God sends people to hell. Yes and no. You send yourself to hell. When you reject the judge coming around to you and saying, I died on the cross for your sins. All you have to do is believe in me. And I'm the judge too. The Father has made me the judge, so it's all good. I know exactly what you're talking about. You don't have to explain to me everything about Christianity. All you have to do is believe that I am your Savior. You're saved. This morning, I don't know where you are. If you haven't come to the Son, you cannot go to the Father. And the judgment of the Son is the words of life coming to you. You have to receive it. The decision is in your hands. What will you do?
Thank you so much for listening to this message. And remember, you're the ultimate judge of your destiny. What will your response be to Jesus Christ, the Son of God? For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for this sermon's notes, visit Pastor Shah's blog at abadanshah.com.